This is an interview with Sue Quattro for the Oral History Project on Smoky Hollow. The interviewer is Annette Mills at 37 Upland Avenue on April 14, 1976 at 8:30 p.m. Mrs. Quattro, would you like to begin, please?
Well, my name was Sue Worella before I was married.
We lived at 359 North Warren Street, down in Smoky Hollow, right in the heart of Smoky Hollow, you could call it. And we had an old home with a basement kitchen and five rooms upstairs, all bedrooms. And we had a stairway leading to the upstairs rooms from the outside. And in the wintertime, it sure was cold, and we had to go to bed. We didn't have a furnace. We didn't have a bathroom. In fact, we didn't even have an inside toilet. We had a toilet outside, and it was a double toilet, his and hers, and it was running water. So later on, as time went by and the family started getting bigger, my dad added another kitchen downstairs and two more bedrooms upstairs, and made the total bedrooms of seven rooms upstairs, and with three kitchens downstairs. And I went to Wood Street School when I was 6 years old, and went there to the fifth grade, and then I was transferred over to Madison School, and I didn't even graduate the eighth grade. I got out before I entered the eighth grade and went to work at McManus's store. It was a clothing store for women. When I was small, I had a sister that used to work for the, I can't remember what the name of it was, but she used to make the mantles for the gas lights. She would take the work home and I would help her to do it.
Mrs. Quattro, you said something about in your home that you had to go outside to go upstairs to go to bed at night.
Right.
And I would imagine it did get pretty cold because we had snow.
Right.
And during the winter months, you still did this?
Had to go outside, go upstairs to the bedroom. Then when my father added the other kitchen, and the two bedrooms upstairs, he enclosed the outside porch, the outside steps into the house. And then we got to go upstairs on the inside.
Then you had an inside approach to the upstairs.
Right.
All right. Then you mentioned something else, too, that I was kind of wondering about. Were you born in that house?
I was born in that house. My brother and I was born in that house. I have a brother they used to call Mac. And he used to sell papers down on West Federal Street.
All right, is this brother still living today?
He's still living today, and he's living with me. And he used to sell the telegram. And we don't have the telegrams now, but this would be the telegram.
All right, could you tell us a little bit about that, Mrs. Quattro, because of this generation, I'm sure, would know nothing about the telegram. Could you elaborate a little bit on the local telegram?
Well, we used to have two papers at that time. One was a telegram and one was a vindicator. And that's what he would sell. And then after a while, I don't know what happened, but then it kind of dissolved. And I can't remember whether the vindicator took over or they just went out of business.
Now, while the telegram was in operation, was the vindicator also publishing papers?
Right.
All right, then you had two papers.
We had two papers.
Do you think that this would be a good idea today?
Yes, I think so. We'd give different views in different papers.
And maybe we would get a little bit more competition between the two papers and maybe get broader news, do you believe?
I think so.
All right. There was some other things that I would like to know about your childhood, what you felt about growing up and mentioning an outhouse. Of course, that was still had to be used during the winter months also.
Right. Winter and summer, that was the only place we could go.
Right. Could you tell us a little bit more about, you know, your own growing up and your own family, something about your own family?
Well, my dad and mother, they were from the old country, and they didn't have too much money, and as far as toys and things were concerned, we didn't know what they were. Christmas time would come around, and I would try to hang my stocking up by our stove, and our stove was a coal stove, and that coal stove was a cooking stove and a heating stove in one. And then in the morning, next morning when I'd get up, I wouldn't find toys. There was no such things as toys. I didn't know what a doll was. I would find oranges and an apple and some nuts and a little bit of candy in my stocking. And as far as dolls are concerned, I used to make them out of towels. I used to roll them up and try to fix them up so they would look like a doll.
You mentioned about coming down and getting your stocking on Christmas morning. Was that kind of a treat for you, though, when you found oranges and candy?
Oh, yes. To us, it was a treat, sure, because we didn't know what toys were.
And then you didn't know what toys were. And what about fruit? Why would that be necessarily a treat?
Well, because they figured that was something to eat and it was good for you. And where toys weren't nothing to eat, that's what they thought most of them.
Were fruit and candy, were they plentiful during that time?
Yes, they were plentiful. They kept us in good supply with food.
Mm-hmm. You always had all the fruit you wanted.
Yes, that's true.
So then this was just an added treat.
Right.
Okay. Could you tell us a little bit about your mother and a little bit about your father?
Well, my father, he was a hard-working man. He worked in the sewers. He used to make $1.25 a day, and he had to keep 8 of us children. And my mother, she had to keep boarders to make ends meet. We used to make our own bread. My mother had an outside oven, and she would make, it would be nothing for her to take a 90-pound sack of flour and mix it all up, because she used to sell it to the boarders too. And she would cook all her bread in an outside oven. And what was that bread good?
Right. Could you tell us a little bit about how this oven was heated?
She used to take and put the pieces of logs in it and used to get a fire going. And after that got real hot, she used to take out all the ashes. She used to wipe out all the ashes with a wet mop. And once she got it down to a certain heating temperature, well, then she would put the bread in it.
Okay, and then she probably had some tools board paddle or something.
A big paddle with a long handle that she used to set the loaf of bread on that paddle and used to slide it into the oven as far back as it could go, and she used to get all her bread, her loaves of bread in there at one time.
Now, were these loaves of bread, were they placed in bread tins or were they just placed right on the open
right earth? On the open on the hot floor of the oven?
All right, without a pan.
Without a pan.
All right, the bread would be raised and then would be just without a pan and placed right onto the. All right, that's something unique, because we certainly wouldn't do that today in our ovens, would we?
No, but before she put the bread in, my mother used to have a mop, a wet with a bucket of water, and she used to go in that oven and she used to wash it up and get it down to the temperature. That she wanted for the bread, that the floor would be clean.
All right, and then it would also take away the ashes from the wood and
right.
Things of this nature to have it clean.
Yes.
Okay, so was that bread good?
Oh boy, was it delicious.
Okay, could you tell us something else about some of your home-cooked foods during the time, some of the things that you remember as a youngster?
Well, we were practically raised on Italian foods such as spaghetti and meatballs, macaroni and beans, potatoes, fried potatoes, greens, a lot of greens, and a lot of soups.
Now, was that homemade soup or canned soup?
No, homemade soup, no canned soup. They didn't know what canned soups were.
Okay. Is there anything else that special occasions that maybe that you can remember that there was things that were extraordinary, say like a baptism or a wedding or something along that line that was kind of traditional?
Well, the baptisms were held at small levels. They weren't too much, but the baby, all they cared about was for them to take the baby to church and get baptized. There would be a little dinner afterwards, but the weddings were usually big.
Mm-hmm. Could you describe some of the weddings that you could recall going to or your own?
I can tell you about mine. Mine was small. Mine was right in our home, down in the hall. And my sisters did all the cooking. They stayed up all night that night to do all the cooking. And we had a fella come in with the accordion, and he played the accordion for us to dance. And I just had one attendant. My niece was my bridesmaid.
Okay, just the one. No, there was no best man or anything.
My niece my husband's boyfriend was his best man.
Okay.
But when my niece got married, she had a big wedding. She had it up to the Duplo Bootsy Hall. If you remember, do you remember that Duplo Bootsy Hall across the street from the Our Lady of Mount Carmel Church?
Yes, I do. Uh-huh.
It's not there now. The Our Lady of Mount Carmel took all that. Land over just about any of it, where the Duplo Bootsy used to be. It's a parking lot for the Our Lady of Mount Carmel Church.
All right, could you tell us a little bit about the Duplo Bootsy Hall?
Oh, that's where all the big weddings used to be held. Of course, we didn't get to go to much because my father, he didn't believe in us going we didn't get invited to very many of these big weddings.
All right, at these weddings and at the big halls, could you describe some of the things that happened at, say, the Italian wedding?
You mean as far as the
entertainment?
Mm-hmm. Oh, they would have an orchestra on the stage, and it's just like it is today. They had a lot of girls. They had the bridesmaids. 3-4 bridesmaids, little flower girls, the ring bearers, the ushers. They had their maid of honor, and a lot of them. For myself, when I got married, I didn't have one of those long wedding gowns. I had a short dress, and it was a white chiffon dress. That afterwards, I took and I dyed it a beautiful shade of orchid. And I wore that dress, and I wore it until I couldn't wear it no more. Mm-hmm. I made good use out of my wedding dress.
Right, yeah, which a lot of them now, they're still wearing the long dresses. And, of course, even going back now to the ivory and antique white and the long dresses. But then, again, they probably won't be able to wear them again.
With those trains and everything, they have a hard time wearing them.
All right, could you tell me then... something about the hollow itself, the neighborhood and the neighborhoods, and some of the things that you did. I realized you were kind of restricted because your family was strict to a degree. Was this pretty common amongst the people during the time you were young?
Yes. Most of the, I can speak for most of the Italians, they usually were kind of strict with their daughters. We weren't allowed to go out dating, and we weren't allowed to play out in the street.
And the only time we would play was when our fathers were working, and then we got down the street and we'd play kick the can and hide the stick and hopscotch and things like that. And that was our entertainment.
What would happen if you got caught playing out in the street?
Well, we just got called in the house.
Got called in. That was the end of it right there.
Right.
All right, could you tell me then something about, again, I would like to know something about your mother.
My mother, she was a beautiful woman. She tried to help everybody. I remember the time when I was small, and 1918, that the bad flu came around. And she was so scared about us kids getting the flu that she used to sew the garlic on strings and hang them around our neck because she thought that the smell of the garlic was going to keep the flu away. And people would send and ask for her to go and help them out because their families were sick. And thank God she never caught the flu.
Mm-hmm. Even though she was feared for her own family, she still went out and aided those that needed her
right.
help. Could you tell me if you know about what time, how old your parents were when they came to America and settled in the Smoky Mountains?
My parents came when my mother was about 23 years old, and my father was my mother was about 26, and my father was 23, and they migrated in Newcastle, and from Newcastle they came to Youngstown. And when they came to Youngstown, they went straight down to the hollow, down into the corner of Watton Adams, and that's where my brother Tony, they call him Mac, the one that used to sell the papers, and I were born.
All right. And then did they move down there because they had relatives or friends, or did they just go down there?
They just moved down there, that's all. They didn't have no relatives here.
All right. Did your parents, did both of them die in the Smoky Hollow?
Yes. My dad and my mother both died from that house, the 359 North Water Street.
All right. The reason I mention that is because I was certain that they were both deceased. And I was just wondering if they were still living in the Smoky Hollow at that time.
My mother died when she was, my mother died in 1935, down in the Smoky Hollow, and my father died in 1948, right from the same house.
Okay, all right, is there any members of your family still living in the Smoky Hollow?
No, I have a brother that lives next door in the same yard. But the house that my dad and mother lived in is empty, and I'm hoping for this Youngstown College to take it.
Mm-hmm. All right, but your brother is still living there, and was he born in that in Smoky Hollow too?
No, my brother was born in Newcastle.
He was born in Newcastle.
And
then
he came here as a little boy. Right down into Smoky Hollow.
All right, then you're younger than this brother.
Way younger.
All right.
A lot younger, yeah.
Okay, fine. And he's lived there ever since he came to Youngstown. He's been in the Smoky Hollow and is still in the Smoky Hollow.
Still in the Smoky Hollow.
All right, and then I would imagine he had family that was raised there also.
He has a family that was born and raised down there, and they're still down there.
All of his family still living down there?
One boy is still living in the house down there, and there's one boy, Frankie Worella, that's living on Walnut Street.
All right, they're still true to the Smoky Hollow, then.
They're still true to the Smoky Hollow.
All right. There's some people that I'm sure have lived down there just all of their life, at least in the Youngstown area, and or since they migrated to the States. All right, could you tell me then something else, Mrs. Quattro, something about your own experiences in the neighborhood? Even after you got to be more of an adult, you mentioned going out and working. tell me something about the neighborhood itself.
The neighborhood was one like, just like one big happy family. If ever anybody was needed help, there was always somebody there to help them. And if they needed anything, if we had it, they would get it. And everybody did their share.
Could you tell me then something about how or when you met your husband and your own marriage?
I met my husband. I was still living down in the hollow, and he had just come to town. He was a stranger in town, and of course I wasn't allowed to talk to him because I wasn't allowed to talk to him. But we had little secret meetings and things like that. We had a short engagement because my father didn't believe in long engagements.
Okay, and then was a short time after you met your husband then that you married him?
Yes, in 8 months we got acquainted. We had gotten acquainted and we were married. And we still lived down in the hollow. And let me tell you about our home. Our home, we didn't have a bathroom in our home. After my father passed away, my sister and I, we got together and we thought, well, it was time to put a bathroom, just a commode in the house.
All right, and then, of course, then you had the flushing commode and toilet. And then did you eventually then get bath facilities put in also?
Not bath facilities. We did put a shower, and then we put a hot water tank in the house. We didn't even have hot water. We only had cold running water, and we didn't want to run them. We didn't know how what to do about running the pipes in the house because it was so old, and we didn't know where to run the pipes. So we just made a little hole between the wall of the utility room and into the big kitchen where the laundry tubs were, and just one hot spigot. And the three kitchens would use the hot running water from there.
Okay, that was a kind of a community hot water source then, wasn't it?
Right.
All right, could you tell me something about the house itself? You did tell me about the outside stairs that you had to go up to the upstairs bedrooms. Could you tell me, did you have a big lawn in front of your house, or could you describe where the house sat on your lot?
Well, I can tell you the house sat right on the lot, and that's it. We just had a little spot in the back of the house, and of course my father had it all fenced in, and of course when we were small, my father had chickens too. He had made a chicken coop back there, and they raised their own chickens. But the front of the house, five steps, and you were on the sidewalk.
All right, you were that close to the street or sidewalk then.
Sidewalk.
All right, were all the sidewalks in at that time?
All the sidewalks were in, the curbs were in, the streets were brick streets, the red bricks. They were good streets, sewers and everything was in.
Mm-hmm. Do they still have brick streets today?
Yes, I think they do. They have the brick streets down there today, yeah.
And could you tell me then something about what the neighbors did for entertainment during that time?
All the neighbors would do for entertainment was get on each other's porches at night and just reminisce and have coffee.
Right. And kind of just gab fest kind of thing.
Right.
Do you remember when radio came in?
When radio came in, I think we were the first ones to have a radio. And it
to listen to music, that was really something. We used to have an old phonograph record, player, and we used to play the records on that, but then when we got the radio, it was nothing like the old phonograph.
It was a kind of a different thing. You had to listen to what they had on the programs. You couldn't listen to anything you wanted to.
Right.
All right. Could you tell me something else about, you know, your own family, your own immediate family? How many were, you know?
I had four sisters and three brothers besides myself. And now, first now, some are deceased, and we're three sisters and two brothers living.
Mm-hmm. All right, how about your own family?
My family, I have one son, and his name is Dr. Fred Quattro now. He was born in 1936, and today he is not home, but we expect him back to work at home. He's in Des Moines, Iowa now, at the he's an orthopedic surgeon.
And so he's a doctor then in his particular field, and he's a surgical doctor in orthopedics.
Yes, that's right.
All right, and he is in the state of Iowa, but he was also raised in the Smoky Hollow.
Right,
and
in the Smoky Hollow. He went to school, when he started at Wood Street School. And then when he was in the second or third grade, I think, we moved up on the south side. And before he entered the eighth grade at the Taft, we moved back down into the hollow again. And he went 1 year up to St. Columbus School. And then his high school, he went to East High. He played football for St. Columbus. He played football for East High. He played football for the Youngstown University.
Right. Was it university at that time?
It was Youngstown College at that time.
It was still Youngstown College.
Yeah.
All right, and then it went university after that.
Yeah.
All right. Could you tell me then something else about how you feel about the Smoky Hollow and your growing up there and raising your family there?
Well, I don't think any other place would be like the Smoky Hollow. We were born and raised respecting our parents, and good kids came from there. There's a lot of boys that came from the Smoky Hollow that are doctors today, that are school teachers, that are they're even real estate men. And I never regretted living down the hollow. That was the best place to live.
All right. Did you think that just the boys in the Smoky Hollow bettered themselves, or do you think this held true for the women also?
The women, too. The women all were all good people.
All right. Then could you tell me, Mrs. Quattro, what you would have changed if you could have any, looking back over, you know, your experiences in the Smoky Hollow, if there was anything you could change and what it would be?
I would like to be living down in the hollow if it was the right place. Nowadays, today it's all being torn down. And there's just nothing down there anymore, but I would like to be living down the hall.
You would like to still be living down there?
I would really like to.
Do you think that if you still lived down there that you could recapture what we had or what you had, you know, all the time you lived there?
I think so.
You think so? Because your maybe some of your neighbors wouldn't be there. Do you think it would be the same?
Well, there are some neighbors down there yet, but I think it could still be the same.
You still think that it could still be built up,
right?
To where it was.
Yeah.
All right. or what it always has been as far as you could recall. All right, is there any time that you could remember in the past, and looking over the past, that you felt was, more difficult than others, like say during the Depression, and how you managed, and how the people of Smoky Hollow managed?
Right after we were married, Depression set in, and it was really tough. My husband couldn't get a job. We were a good thing we were living down the hall, because I don't know what we had done. We used to go up to the store, and we got credit at the grocery store, Mickey Mazarin's grocery store, and we're living in with my dad and mother, because there was three kitchens. Remember, I told you the three kitchens. I had the one kitchen downstairs and two bedrooms upstairs. And if it hadn't been for them, I wouldn't have been able to pay rent anyplace else. And it was pretty tough. We got very little help from the city as far as food was concerned.
Mm-hmm. All right, then, do you think this was a pretty rough period of time? And, but of course, everybody was going through the same thing at that time. All right, their jobs were scarce, and of course, money was scarce because of not having jobs and one thing and another. How do you think, as a whole, you and your family and all the other people of Smoky Hollow fared and got through this period of time?
I don't know how they got through it, but they really got through it. It's a long time ago, but sometimes I sit back and just wonder how we did really go through it.
Mm-hmm. All right, it was a pretty rough time then.
It was really rough.
Was there kind of a, because of the Depression, were the people depressed because of it?
No, I don't think so. They just took it as it came. It seemed like everybody was happy. They would sit around and talk. We'd go to each other's homes and maybe serve a cup of coffee if we had it, and just sit down and just talk, reminisce, and that was it. But I don't think they were depressed about it.
No, they never let it get the best of them.
Right.
And they kept their spirits up then, and they were still, glad to have anyone come in, like you say, for a cup of coffee.
Right.
All right.
That's
how
right.
Would you compare that neighborhood with, without going into too much detail, with your own neighborhood today?
It's very different. I can sit in the house day after day, I won't see my next door neighbors, and I have a few friends that are from the Hollow that I'll go up to see her. She'll come down to see me. But outside of these, the new neighbors from this new neighborhood that I moved in, I moved in up here. It's 20 years now I've been living here. And I very seldom get to talk to my next door neighbors from either side.
Mm-hmm. There just isn't that close knit then that you had in the Smoky Hollow.
I'll tell you, one night I was waiting for my husband to come home from work, and it was snowing real hard. And I don't know how many inches. When I looked out, our car was just completely covered with snow. It looked like a hut. And I thought, before my husband comes home and breaks his leg getting up the steps in the back here, I'll go out and shovel, sweep the steps off. And when I went to sweep the steps off, I broke my leg. I broke my ankle. And I'm telling you, I had to hop. It was about 10 o'clock in the evening. And I hopped from the back door to the front where my telephone was, and I called the cops. And I told him that I needed help, and he says, just stay where you're at, and he says, I'll come and get you. But the people, I seen the people looking through their window, and when the ambulance came,
And it wasn't one of these up-to-date ambulances, it was a police ambulance, but it was one of those old types. And it came to take me to the hospital. Nobody come out to help.
Now, what do you think might have happened if this same thing would have happened to you in Smoky Hollow?
Oh, I know they would all ran. And if I'd had to go to the hospital, then somebody would have came with me.
Mm-hmm.
I'm pretty positive about that.
That was kind of the thing that everybody did do during that
time.
Yes,
they helped each other out.
They always helped each other out.
Yeah.
All right. Mrs. Quattro, is there anything else that you would like to include in this tape that maybe we overlooked earlier, or anything that you could think of that you would like to include?
Well, I don't know. I can't think of anything more to say.
You can't think of anything more to say. All right.
If you'll ask me something, maybe it'll come to me.
Okay. we mentioned about the food, and I think you carried that through pretty good. And some of the games that you played, could you tell us some of those, some of the games that you played?
Some of the games
they
weren't games. They were like I said, like playing kick the can and tag. You're after hide the paddle or hide the stick. And
how did you play that hide the paddle? How did that go?
Well, we used to go into in the wintertime. We'd go into our friends' homes and. You just take a little paddle, a little ruler, and try to hide it. And whoever found it, if you didn't run, you'd get whacked with it.
All right, that was played right indoors then.
Indoors, yeah.
Okay, and then would the adults play this too? Or?
Yes, the adults. Adults and kids.
Adults and kids.
Kids all together.
Men and women and children.
Well, not so much the men. The men, but maybe they'd be off to work or bowling or something like that. When the women would get together with their kids,
And then they would do it.
Yeah.
Okay. Is there anything else that you could think of that you'd like to add?
I can say one thing, that the hollow is right in the heart of town, and to go to town, all it took is about 10 minutes to go to town, to the West Federal Street. And that was a nice part about it, because at that time I don't remember any buses running. And if we wanted anything from town, we had to walk. But it was up Wallace Street, down Wallace Street, and we were down on Federal Street.
All right, it was just up the hill and then down the hill, and we were downtown Youngstown.
Yeah.
All right, it was centrally located then,
right.
And conveniently located.
Right.
And is there anything that you think that was unique about the Smoky Hollow itself and all of its people?
I think it was pretty well knit in a close family. There was a mixture down there, but we never had that as a setback to us. Whether you were Jewish or whether you were Italian or Polish. Even the colors, we all respected each other.
Right, did you feel that there was any discrimination or animosity between one nationality or the other?
None.
Or
none,
race? Or
none whatsoever.
None whatsoever.
Mm-hmm.
Then no matter what nationality or color they were pretty much accepted
as
a member of the Smoky Hollow.
Right.
But there wasn't any of this bitterness or anything of this nature that can recall?
Mm-hmm.
None at all. Okay, fine. excuse me. Mrs. Quattro, if there's anything else that you'd like to add now to before we conclude this tape, would you go ahead and do so?
Well, know, it just seems like I lost all the, you think you have so much to say and then you just forget everything. But I think the hall was a nice place, and when that's gone, that'll be long remembered.
All right, the Smoky Hollow then kind of has a soft spot in your heart.
It sure does.
All right, Ms. Quattro, if there isn't anything else that you can think of at this time, maybe perhaps we can get together again, and if not, I do want to thank you so very much for allowing me to come into your home and for taking up this time to interview you and your husband both.
I'm very glad you came.
And thank you again.
Thank you.